Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Wes Tuttle, getting us into a spiritual mood. I have no idea where everyone is this morning. I hope there wasn't a partial rapture. Huh? They're not in the rain. That's it. It's raining. That's it. When I was yelling, I decided it's either open a bar or open a church. If you open a bar, drunks will get there no matter what the weather is. Christians, nope. It's raining. It's bad weather. The Lord didn't mean for me to get out today. So, oh, well, the mighty few here, mighty few and mighty and few. So, here we are. All right, I've got your paper. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. And this wasn't time change or anything. I don't know where the people are. Good grief. Right? That's it. It's rain. Christians get they melt in the rain. They're too sweet. And okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity, the privilege, and the freedom to assemble ourselves this morning for the purpose of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Father, we pray that all that we do will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son and the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I had planned on a really nice him, but it's going to take more than just a few, because I know y'all. So let's stand and sing. Let's see here, 37. We all know 37, and you can blare out on this one. And so let's sing hymn number 37. A mighty fortress is our God. An old Martin Luther song. Now, one reason that I chose that hymn, and it's a shame that we in the Christian church predominantly do not know or aware of too much of our own history. It was this last week in Worms, Germany, in 1512, I believe it was, that Martin Luther went on trial in Worms, Germany, and he was found to be an outlaw of the church. And he was, in fact, excommunicated from the church, and for such teachings as the sole authority of Scripture, not the Pope, and things like salvation by faith in Jesus Christ alone, faith alone, not through the church. Well, you can see that would irritate the officials and the Pope and the cardinals and all, and they put him on trial. And he was not, he did not back off, he did not apologize, and it was a very difficult week. And then from then on, he started what has come to be known as the Reformation. But it was this very week in Worms, Germany, and the history of the church is just so vital, so important, and things we're going to be looking at this morning in our study. I'll make a orientation to history in that respect also, but that's one reason that we picked that up. And want to share just one other thing with you. On Tuesday night, we're in the book of Revelation, and we're beginning chapter 21, which begins with the new heaven and the new earth. And we're going to take a look. We've seen that God has gotten rid of Satan and all the fallen angels in chapter 20 of Revelation, casting him into the lake of fire. He has gotten rid of all unbelievers in Revelation 20, the great white throne judgment. And he's gotten rid of the sin nature through the resurrection. But in order to make a new heaven and a new earth, the old one has to be done away. I want to show you something that was fun. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 a moment, please. 2 Peter chapter 3. Just got to share this with you, because I know a lot of you are not able to make it on Tuesday night. I don't know why, but the Holy Spirit doesn't lead you to come on Tuesday nights. But I do want to share this with you. This is really, really good. All right. Now we're going to look. We're not going to deal with the whole passage. I just want to share one humorous thing with you. In verse 7, he says, "But the present heavens and earth by the same word." Now, by the same word that created, the same word will do this. So that's important as far as the understanding of the passage. But anyway, "are being reserved for fire." Now you see that reserved? That means to be guarded. That means to be watched. And it occurred to me, who do y'all want to guard this earth? Al Gore or God? And I think God can do a really good job. And I was sharing this with John Hintz yesterday. Oh, by the way, well, let me finish one story. And John said, well, you see, Al Gore knows it's going to be hot at the end and global warming. And so that's what he's trying to avert us from. But it isn't going to work. But the word actually means, it says in verse 7, reserved. It means to be guarded. It means to be watched. It means to be taken care of. And so God's doing it. We don't have to, and I'm not saying we'd, you know, just pollute the earth, but God's taking care of the earth, and we don't need to go green and all of that. And that was good. Now, the maybe, this is just a maybe, next Sunday, John Hintz will be here to speak for us. And so we'll enjoy fellowship with John. I told him he cheated us out of the coming down early like he usually does for the pastor's conference in Houston and teach the Sunday before, and then we go down. He cheated us out of that. And he said, "I didn't cheat you." And I said, "Yeah, you did. You cheated us." And so he's going to come. He's got to go to Austin to do a wedding, and he's going to drive. And so if it all it kind of depends on the Lord, because there's a lady in his church, and her name is Margarita, and Margarita is very close to going home being with the Lord. So that, like, if she were to go home Thursday, he'd have to go right back and officiate, because they want him to do the service and all. I understand that. But if she dies, like, before Monday night, then he'll do the service before he goes. He'll be free. Or if she doesn't die next weekend, then he'll be free to come up. So we're going to pray for Margarita. We're going to pray either the Lord takes her home early or leaves her here for a while, and so that we can join John and have him here next Sunday. He said, well, what will I preach? And I said, well, whatever you would have taught the week before the pastor's conference. He said, well, I forgot. And I said, well, get it out. Warm it up. And so maybe next Sunday we'll have John here to speak for us, if everything works out for him to be able to do that. So, okay, I just want to share the Second Peter passage with you. That was, I thought it was just so cool that God is guarding, God's watching, God's taking care of this earth. You don't need to worry about all of that stuff. And he's going to do quite a job. But when you set aside God, oh, let me show you one thing in that same passage. Look at that Second Peter passage. It's powerful. Let me show you why we are where we are. Second Peter chapter 3. Yeah, for the Blast Airlines. Let's see. Now, in verse 5, powerful verse. For when they, the unbelievers, scientists, all these people, when they maintain this, that God's plan isn't going to come out, he's not going to return, and all these things, it escapes their notice that by the word of God. Only, I don't know why the NASV really messed up on this passage in several places, and this is one of them. It doesn't say it escaped their notice. If you have the King James or the NIV, it's much closer to the original text. They, on purpose, they purposefully overlook. They purposefully set aside the Bible. And we've already seen that you set aside the Bible, as we have in America, the judicial realm. You have no foundation for making decisions. And so any decision that you want to make morally and all can be made. You've taken out the Bible. Take the Bible out of the educational system, which we've done in this country. You have nothing to guide you there, and it's being taken out of churches. But this is what happens. When you set aside the Bible, when you want to escape the truth of Scripture, then you can just say that the God didn't create all things. God isn't coming back. There's no great white throne judgment to be concerned with. All these types of things. Well, I can't teach you Tuesday night's class tonight. Got to save something for them. So we'll move on in our morning worship. Let's talk about prayer. And for right now, top of our list is Margarita. And not for margaritas, Steve. This is not for margaritas. It's for Margarita. It's a lady in Tucson. And so we'll just pray God's will be done in regard to Margarita. And take care of John and his traveling down into Austin, whether he gets to come and visit us or not. Let's see, we need to be in prayer for another member by distance, Don Becker. He's traveling to New York, so we need to be in prayer as Don Becker travels for safety and guidance. And we need to continue to be in prayer for Tish and your cancer, and it's still dropping away, and seems to be. Now, you got a report from the doctor that you'd went to see in Mexico, and he told you things that were really looking good in it. Yeah, good. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If this really were, oh man, they'd be there. But since it's not what they want, nope, they're not going to. Well, we'll continue to be in prayer. Now, how is your sister Wanda doing this morning?
Well, I don't know. I didn't hear this morning, but
She had a bypass, two bypasses Friday. Friday, wasn't it? Yeah, Friday. And so we need to be in prayer for Wanda. And Jim, her husband, died, was about 2 years ago, a year and a half? Last year. And so let's be in prayer for Wanda and her recovery and these things. So absolutely. She'll be in ICU for a couple of days. Yeah. So nobody's there to help her.
Yeah.
And her sister isn't going to fly out there and help her. I'm sorry. That wasn't nice. I will be in prayer for Wanda, wonderful lady. And so let's be in prayer for her. And let's see. We need to be in prayer for Nathan. And any other prayer requests that I'm not? Yes, hon. Okay, I don't know where everyone is, but if we need to get that out on the internet, Leslie, just let them know it'll be next Sunday after service.
For help with the camp, August 2nd through 6th, or if you're interested
in what
the new
We need to be in prayer for our young people and for those working with them. I talked to Tony, and he said there's no problem in the car wash, just he needs to know which Sunday you have in mind. May 16th? All right, I'll let him know then, May 16th. And he will. He said he saw no problem, and so that'll work out good. What we're talking about is that on May the 16th Sunday, you bring your car and they'll wash it over here and get it all cleaned up for you. And so that'll be May 16th. Hopefully it'll be good and sunny. Yes. Oh, that's right. We've been in prayer for Brian's father. We need to be in prayer for Brian's father and his mother. Yeah. Wow.
But he said he's taking it pretty well and that he decided he just wants to go visit his family.
Good. Good. All right. Okay, that's very good. And Brian said he could come and visit.
Well, no, he's sending him to visit other families.
All right. Continue to be in prayer for Brian's father. And that the Holy Spirit will give him peace and assurance at this time of what's going on. And we need to be in prayer for another one of our members in Wichita Falls, Texas, Cindy Edwards and her family. Please continue to remember them in prayer. And I'm sure it's really rough without Vic. And so let's just be in prayer for Cindy. Yes. Edna, we definitely need to be in prayer for Edna. They found out a brain concussion because of the wreck, not just all the other areas of her body that are tore up, but she's got a brain concussion and, her ribs are broken and, I think something wrong with one of her feet. And so we just need to be in prayer for Edna at this time, big time. Need to be in prayer. I'm sorry. She was in a car wreck. Oh, that'd be 2.5-3 weeks ago. A month or so ago. And they just discovered this week, though, the brain concussion. And so they jolted the brain against the skull. And so that we need to be in prayer for Edna. And I'll tell you what, how old is Edna? 80. Okay, she's up there. Boy, aren't you a good politician? You're a better politician than I am preacher. Wow. Anyway, that woman is just full of so much life and spark and energy. And this is just so rough. A woman her age and just gets around and doesn't stop going. So we need to continue to be in prayer for Edna. Thank you. And any other prayer? Yes. Tell them they don't need to be making these kind of announcements. We don't need to hear that. Wow.
She's doing good. So appreciate the prayers there. The doctor, she went to the doctor. He wasn't real concerned about it.
Well, he's not having the baby. That's why he's not concerned. And it's just, what, 7 months, 7.5 months?
7 months.
Yeah.
So, I think that's not uncommon at that stage to do that. But she just checked herself.
Yeah. Very smart. Yeah. Our Bible will be in prayer for her and for you, and you know, and whatever God has in mind, He shuts a door, He opens a window, as the saying goes. So we know He's in control of all things. So we'll be in prayer. Keep us posted. And within 24 months? Don't you love all these political words people use today? Change, transition. Well, we'll see how things go. Well, we'll continue to be in prayer. God's guidance and plan for you. Absolutely. Any other prayer requests? The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined, first of all, as one who has believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. But it's not just for believers. It's for believers who know how to be filled with the Spirit, that they'll know and be led of the Spirit in regard to giving. Paul says, if I give everything that I own to feed the poor, so that I myself become poor, but do not have love, it profiteth nothing. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. So the offering is not just for a born-again believer, but it's for the believer who knows how to be filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit, listen to the Spirit in regard to giving. And so let's spend a moment, give you the opportunity to test yourself, see if you're trusting His Spirit, that He can guide you. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly, this humble assembly, Father, and we so appreciative that you have used this humble assembly and the internet, missions, young people, publications, everything that you allow us to do. And Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give and that you will continue to use this assembly in the spreading of the gospel to both unbelievers and believers, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, thank you. All right, let's turn in our hymnals to 446 and getting ready for our study this morning on redemption. So let's turn to 446, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, and we'll be looking at the doctrine of redemption in a few moments. So let's stand and sing together. No one would know I was in the room. But there are some people, they cannot hide. And Michael, you're just one of those people that cannot hide. And we're glad to have you. Mike lived in Austin for a while. Grew up here, right? Grew up here, and you were in Austin for a while. And then you left beautiful Austin for even more beautiful Irvine, California. And now you've left Irvine, California to come back here. Oh, me. Some people just never are happy. Oh, well, we're glad to have you visiting with us this morning. All right, let's open the scriptures to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. One reason that so many Christians are so sloppy in regard to Christianity is because of their inability and lack of training in area of thinking through things. You think that you can be saved any other way than by faith in Jesus Christ? You think you can be spiritual any other way than by faith in the Holy Spirit? You think that you can lose your salvation. People, these kinds of things demonstrate an inability to just think your way through. We take things and boom, that's it. And we're taught, for an example, you can lose your salvation. What a blasphemy. What unbelievable blasphemy to God, and what it does, as I try to show you, what's your view of God? It's your thinking of God. People, we have to think. God gave us a brain, and He gives us so many truths to put together. Now, you could maybe make some mistakes if you just thought of it one way. Salvation, spirituality, these things. But if you put the whole thing together, you learn to think. And that's what Paul is doing in this one sentence. Now, just so that we don't get disoriented to where we are, let's look at Romans chapter 3, and the sentence begins in verse 21 and goes through 26, one sentence. And I want to go through that sentence again, because people, if you understand one sentence, you're not going to crucify Christ over and over by thinking you can lose your salvation. And that's what you do, in effect. You're not going to be messed up in regard to eternity. There's just so many truths, but you have to think. And a lot of churches don't want you to think, and preachers don't do their study and teaching. So let's take a look. Now, the concept begins in verse 20. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. So here we study the doctrine of justification. Essential. How am I justified? Well, people, if you think you can earn your salvation, then you denounce the doctrine of justification. If you think you can lose your salvation, you've denounced the doctrine of justification. All these things, you slowly put them all together and learn to think. Not just what somebody tells you, not even what I tell you. You go through the text. You understand in truth these things and put it together. So this is what Martin Luther did. Martin Luther was a devout Catholic. He was so good that he was going to be a teacher. And they gave him his little hole, a little cave if you want, a little room, and the text, original manuscripts. And they told him to work on, of all things, Romans and Galatians. And he just started thinking outside of the church. Just what does the text say? Not what I've been taught. Not what I have taught. But what does the text say? And he came up with salvation by grace through faith. He came up with sole authority of Scripture, not the Pope. And it got him into a great deal of trouble. And remember, that's the crisis of faith, people. Crisis of faith is not difficult times in your life, like you got cancer, divorce, financial loss, all these things. It's not the crisis of faith. The crisis of faith is where you have been believing a lie, and you've got to let that go if you're going to understand the truth and see the truth of God's Word. That's the crisis of faith. We spent a whole series on that. So let's take a look now. No flesh will be justified in His sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And we spend time on the doctrine of sin. Now we begin the sentence. But now, apart from the law, this is how, remember the whole issue is, how can I receive the righteousness of God? That's the issue. So it's apart from the law. The righteousness of God has been manifested. Now, there's the main verb. The sentence will go from verse 21 to verse 26, and the main verb is, has been manifested. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith, and we took some time, is your faith the faith God is looking for? Everybody claims faith, but is it the faith God is looking for? Is your faith in something you do, or is your faith in a member of the Godhead? And that's true of salvation, spirituality, blessings, living the Christian life, everything. God is looking for an intimate relationship with us. And that's what faith is. The word for relationship between humans is love. The word for relationship between the creature and the Creator is faith. Love flows out of that, but that's the great issue. So even the, verse 22, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, for all those who believe. So here we have it twice, faith and believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and are excluded from the glory of God. Not fall short. And I memorized that when I was a child, but that's just not what the Greek says. And I'll just like to say, when you lose a football game by 2 or 3 points, that's falling short. When you have $1,900 but you owe $2,000, that's falling short. We're not falling short. There's no way of falling short of this. You don't have any righteousness. You're excluded. The Greek word is to be excluded from the righteousness of God or from the glory of God. Then verse 24, being justified, and we've already taken time to note that in detail, as a gift by His grace through the redemption. And that's what we're looking at this morning, is the doctrine of redemption. Through redemption. Alright? Which is in Christ Jesus, whom God publicly displayed as a propitiation, now there's a 50-cent word that we'll spend some time on, in His blood. Where you have redemption, blood is very close, and we'll note why that's true. In His blood, many people are so confused on the whole doctrine of blood and understanding the blood, so we need to spend some time on that. Through faith, this was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, He passed over sins previously committed, waiting up until the cross. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. We learn from Job, he's got to be just. In whatever way, He imputes righteousness and saves mankind. All right, we're looking at the doctrine of redemption. And we introduced it last week, but we didn't get very far. So let's get to work on it this morning, see if we can make some headway. This answers the question, why Jesus? Why are you Christians so adamant that if someone doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, even the Jews, the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Hindus, and everybody, why are you all so isolationist that it has to be in this Jesus? Well, number one, we're not isolationists because it's all-inclusive, whosoever will. But yes, it is confined to the person of Christ. And why? People, one of the reasons is He's the only one that's a redeemer. He's the only one who has redeemed us. So last week we took up the definition of the doctrine of redemption. And just very quickly to orient to something in regard to this, the doctrine of salvation, there are three key words: redemption, reconciliation, propitiation. Redemption is directed toward sin. Reconciliation, directed toward mankind. We are reconciled to God. Propitiation, God is propitiated, directed toward God. He is propitiated with the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we took up several other things in regard to that. Now we come to etymology. Etymology. This is where you learn to think. Got to learn to think. Now, point one, we have under etymology, what we're going to do here is look at some words in the Greek. And the first word we're going to look at is apolupsis. And this word is a compound. It comes from apo, which means from, and lutron. Here's apo. Apo means from, and lutron. L-U-T-R-O-N, lutron, and lutron, lutron means to redeem from. That's what this word, lutron means to redeem, and it means to redeem from. The word means to let go free for a ransom. You go into a market, and you buy. And this is what this word means. Recalling of captives. Who are the captives? Sinners. All members of the human race, we are the sinners. From captivity. Was we in captivity to sin? I'll show you all this in Scripture. In sin. Through the payment of a ransom. What's the ransom? The death of Jesus Christ, called the blood of Christ. So we have, in this one word, we have the recalling, the buying out of captives, sinners, from captivity, sin, through a payment of a ransom, the death of Jesus Christ. Sin, we are in slavery to sin. Sinners, enslaved, Jesus Christ is the Redeemer, and His death is the ransom. People, just think now. You got to think this through. Can I really do anything to get myself out of this slave market of sin? No. Slave can't free a slave. Can I lose it once I've been redeemed? No. We'll see that as we go through this. You learn to think. Okay, that's why I'm taking your time on Sunday mornings going through some of these pertinent doctrines in this one sentence. So that you can just read this one sentence and work through the whole gospel. Right here. If we learn to think our way through it. Then the second word is lutron, the word that I have on the board, L-U-T-R-O-N, lutron. It means from the root to loose. To loose. Ransom or paid price for redeeming or loosening captives. Loosening them from their bonds. Setting them at liberty. I'm going to think through. When we sing things, I am redeemed. Jesus is my redeemer. What are we all talking about? What is the whole thing involved? This is so complex. This is not simple. But if we grasp it, it'll head off wrong conclusions, false doctrine, false beliefs about salvation, loss of salvation, gaining salvation, all these types of things. Look, if you will, to Matthew chapter 20. Now, this is a Bible class. And some of these I do want us to look up together and just see it. I want you familiar with this. I know that most of you know, he's my Redeemer. Okay, let's move on. What all is involved with that? That will steer us off from wrong thinking, wrong conclusions. Got to learn to think theologically. Think biblically. Matthew 20, 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now see that Greek word translated for many? People, that's the Greek word anti. That's the Greek word anti, A-N-T-I. And this word really should be translated. I have no problem with for, but it doesn't give you the dimension that's going on here. It means instead of. Instead of. For or instead of the many. The same word is used, and I'll just read this for you. You can write it down. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom instead of many. Instead of all of us dying, which we can't because we're already dead. You got to be alive in order to free somebody that's dead spiritually. So this is a putting together. This whole understanding of this word. The third word, lutroo. Lutroo. I'm writing all of these on here, but lutroo. And that's L-U-T-R-O, long O, lutroo. And lutroo means to pay. Means to pay a ransom. All of these give a different emphasis. The first word is meant it will get to redeem from. Then the second word, to loose. This word now means to pay a ransom. What is interesting about this word is that it is not used of one who pays the ransom. It's not used of the one who pays the ransom, but of him who receives the ransom. To release or on receipt of a ransom. Release because you received a ransom. To release upon payment. To redeem or to ransom. Let's look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Now, we need to go through some of these different words and see them in context. These different words. Titus chapter 2. And we want to look together at verse 14. Now, word means to pay a ransom. Who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, previous verse, and Savior Jesus Christ, excuse me, who gave himself for us that he might redeem. That is, that he might pay the price from every lawless deed, from every lawless deed, and purify for himself a people for his possession, zealous for good deeds. And you put this together with another doctrine, what do you get? People, you've already been forgiven. Every unbeliever is forgiven of sin. Every unbeliever is forgiven of sin. At the Great White Throne Judgment, sins are not mentioned. Why are they not mentioned? They've already been taken care of. Everyone has already been forgiven. You've already received forgiveness. If you understand that, that clarifies you and gives you guidance in correctly understanding a lot of verses that seem to say other things, like 1 John 1:9, other passages. People were already forgiven at the cross. Don't deny what happened on the cross. He is already forgiven. The only issue is Christ and Him crucified. So this becomes so important. And since we already know where Peter is from this morning, let's look at 1 Peter. Let's look at 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. It's a shame that the majority of Christians go to churches, if they go at all, and it's just, they're not taught to think. And this is one of the great problems that we're experiencing in America. How many Americans can clearly delineate the difference between capitalism, communism, socialism, all these isms? They can't. They don't know the difference between socialism and capitalism. They can't talk about it. They think, oh, socialism is fine. So how are you going to hold on to anything valuable if you can't think to make decisions? And people, this is so true in our spiritual life. It's so easy to get into false teaching, false doctrine, if you don't think your way through it. You've got to think your way through all these things. So 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's look at verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed. You were not redeemed with perishable things. Remember, the word means to pay a ransom. And the ransom paid was not with perishable things, like silver and gold, from your futile life, way of life, inherited from your forefathers. But, and here's the beautiful thing, pay a ransom. What is the ransom price? With the precious blood. Remember that wherever you got redemption, generally speaking, the blood of Christ will be mentioned soon. So we got to correctly understand the blood of Christ. You don't correctly understand that, you'll get more and more confused. But with the precious blood, as of the Lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Or the blood there isn't there, if you can see in the New American Standard, but it goes back to it's been talked about, the blood of Christ. But if you don't understand what the blood of Christ is, you come up with all this hokey stuff. Jesus took his blood up to God in a cup and all this kind of foolishness. Got to understand, got to think. And this is what we've got to learn to do. All right, the fourth word. The fourth word is lutrosis, L-U-T-R-O-S-I-S, lutrosis. It means to release. To release upon receipt of a ransom. The act of freeing or releasing. In the New Testament, the emphasis is never on the person releasing, but on the person delivered. That's you and I, the sinner. To release. The emphasis is never on the person releasing, but on the person released, the person delivered. In other words, sinners. Let's look at Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke 1, verse 68. Okay, verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited us and accomplished redemption for His people, And if you understand the redemption here means releasing, the releasing of his people from the bondage of sin and several other bondages in that case. All right, the fifth word. The fifth word. Word number four. Lutrosis. L-U-T-R-O-S-I-S. To release upon receipt of a ransom. To release upon the receipt of a ransom. The act of freeing or releasing. In the New Testament, the emphasis is never on the person releasing, but on the person delivered. Person freed, the sinner. Luke chapter 1:68. Now the fifth word. We have lutron. Now we have anti-lutron. A-N-T-I. L-U-T-R-O-N. This word emphasizes the ransom price of redemption. The ransom price of redemption. All right, let's look at 1 Timothy. First Timothy 2. Well, which is another thing you get by looking these up. Begin to see this is not an idle concept. This is very important to God. And we'll see it's also all through the Old Testament later. This is very important to God that we understand our condition. We were enslaved to sin, nothing we could do to get out. So don't try to come up with any phony reason, any phony way how you're going to get out. You're not going to be good enough. You're not going to work. Not by the works of the law. Not by the works of the flesh. No way. You and I are in slavery. In slavery to sin. And so here we have now antilutron is the price of our redemption. All right, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we want to read together verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom. Price paid for redemption. A ransom for all. Now this time we have the preposition huper, the word for, huper, ransom on behalf of all. A ransom on behalf of all. The testimony born at the proper time. So that's the price paid. The sixth word. So many beautiful words, and usually I don't take this kind of time, but every word here is so beautiful and so important. The sixth word, lutrotes. L-U-T-R-O-T-E-S, lutrotes, means redeemer, deliverer, the one who pays for the freedom. So many passages, but in Acts 7:35, it refers to Moses as a redeemer of Israel, just to give you an idea. The seventh word. This word I like. Agorazo. A-G-O-R-A-Z-O. Agorazo. Means to buy. To purchase. What? Okay. Agorazo. A-G-O-R-A-Z-O. Agorazo. Means to buy. To purchase. In the market. All you ladies know about that? All right, agorazo. Agora, A-G-O-R-A, that means slave. That means a slave marketplace. Slave marketplace is the root. So here we have agorazo, to purchase in the slave market. To buy for oneself. By a price paid, freely paid. A price freely paid. That's what's important here. He goes into the slave market and purchased freely our debt. All right, let's look at Romans chapter 7. Romans 7. We're looking at agorazo, to buy, to purchase in a slave market. Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage of sin. We're sold into that bondage of sin. This is where we're, this is the market we're in, the bondage. We're in a market, a bondage of sin. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 6. Just a couple of pages over. 1 Corinthians 6. First Corinthians 6:20. For you have been bought, there's our word, with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Now, at the end, we're going to go through some of the results of redemption. This is one of the results, people. One of our problems is we're not vividly aware of our condition in the slave market of sin. Now, the result of that will be the eternal lake of fire, but we're not aware of what He redeemed us out of to set up salvation by faith in Him alone. This was our original state. Now, we deserve to be here because of total depravity, which we've already studied in Romans. But they were in the slave market of sin in 1 Corinthians 6, 20 again. And for you have been bought with a price. And what's the price? The blood of Christ. Therefore glorify God in your body. Now in 1 Corinthians 6, 20, where believers are bought with a high price. The consequences for something or someone having bought is that the buyer now has the right of possession. And we're going to see later, He does not put us under His own slavery, sets us free. That'll be coming up. Therefore, in the redemptive work of Christ, by offering Himself for us as due satisfaction, freed us from the liability in paying it ourselves, which we could never do. We're in that slave market. We're in that sin. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, next chapter, verse 7:23. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. It's amazing. How many Christians are slaves of men? Spiritually. People, you're not a slave of a man. You're not a slave of a denomination. You're not a slave of a pastor. You've got to learn to think for yourself in the power and the leading of the Spirit. Hopefully you find somewhere where the truth is taught, but you've got to do your own thought process through this in the power of the Spirit. You've got to trust the Spirit to cause you, to lead you, to think your way through these things. So often we get so involved with, well, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Catholic, I'm this, I'm that. I listen to this man, I listen to that. No, people don't ever do that. I'm of Christ. So we're not going to go back under the slavery of man. For your information, you can look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 on the same one. We'll, for the sake of time, move on. But 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Okay, the last word. Exagorazo. That's E-X-A. G-O-R-A-Z-O. And it comes out of the beginning is an interesting word. The beginning is ek. And ek means out of, out from. Agorazo, to buy. To buy out of the market. To redeem. To buy out of the market. To redeem. And let's take a moment and look together at Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us out from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Then look at chapter 4, verse 6. Same word, chapter 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit, Say, no, well, that isn't what I wanted. I'm sorry. Okay, just stay with the first one. And my computer made a mistake. Not me, the computer. All right. All right, that brings us now to Roman numeral verse 5. Yes, good, very good, thank you. In order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, to be purchased out from the market. All right, that brings us to Roman numeral 3. Roman numeral 1, definition. Roman numeral 2, the look into all the words. And now, Roman numeral 3. All mankind are in need of redemption. All mankind. Free, slave, throughout all history of man, whether you're born in a remote area in Africa, whether you're born in a civilized area somewhere else, all members of the human race are in need of redemption. You and I are in need of redemption. 1.1, for all are slaves under sin. We're all slaves under sin. And I think on this one we need to look at it so that it's in your mind set that you need to be the redeemed. Look at Romans 7:14 again. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. Romans 7:14, for we know, there's a great problem, most don't know, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into the bondage to sin. So this is where we all are. And the wages of sin is death. So we're already spiritually dead, nothing we can do to free ourselves. That'll come up under what qualifies Jesus Christ to be our Redeemer. Point two, the same price must be paid for all members of the human race. You may think you're a little better. You may think Christ didn't have to die so much for you, but all members of the human race have the same price on their head. To redeem from sin, to redeem from sin, and the death of sin. A substitute, however, may take the place of the sentence to the sinner, since he is unable to pay, but it has to be someone who is able, and will come to Christ on that, and will do it. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 9 on this one. Go to a new book. Hebrews chapter 9. Well, I didn't learn very much, but boy, we went through a lot of books. All right. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And verse 28. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, great white throne judgment we just studied, so Christ also, having been offered once, to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation, without reference to sin, to those who eagerly wait for him. So, the price has to be paid for every member of the human race. All right, point three, very important. Point three, very important. No return. The Redeemer will not sell a slave he has purchased. The Redeemer will not sell a slave he has purchased. When Jesus Christ redeems us, and you accept that redemption by faith in Him, we can never return to our former slavery. Again, it is amazing how many things, in dealing with the grace of God, has to be done in order for our salvation, and yet people come up with all kinds of the most unbelievable, heretical things. I can lose my salvation. I don't know if I'm saved till I get to heaven. All these kinds of things. No, people, we can know. You can know the moment you believe in Him as Savior. But it is amazing how many things of grace God has done to free us, to save us, to bring us into these things, and there's just no room for blasphemy. Let's look at the Gospel of John 10. Gospel of John 10. Gospel of John 10, 28. I give eternal life to them, that they shall not perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Once you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, people, you're locked in. Stay away from this stuff, I can lose my salvation. No, He's got you secure. It's not like man. It's not like man. This is God. And once you're redeemed and you accept that redemption by faith in Jesus Christ, you are saved forever. He does not send that one back into slavery. That's again blasphemy. What's your view of Jesus Christ? What's your view of God? Point four, freedom. The redeemed are loosed from bondage. Not even bound as slaves to the Redeemer. The Redeemer, or the redeemed are loose from bondage, not even bound as slaves to the Redeemer. He will not own a slave who does not want to serve. We serve by choice. We become His servants, His slaves by choice after we're redeemed. Gospel of John chapter 8 verse 36, I'll read it to you. The Gospel of John 8 verse 36, if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. I love these two passages, Galatians 5.